Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Michael Stollard is here. Michael Stollard is the author of a bunch of books, including Connection Culture, the second edition. And it's all about gaining a competitive advantage by recognizing that you have a culture and that you're connecting the dots in your business. And that's what he's here to talk to us about today. He's a leadership authority and co-founder and president of E Pluribus Partners, and a whole bunch of other books, Fired Up or Burned Out, that we've helped him launch on this show in the last 14 years. He's our good friend, Michael. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. I was telling the audience, I was reminding them of something we've talked about a lot on the show before, and that is that your company has a culture. The question is, do you recognize it? Do you understand it? Do you see it? Do you value it? And are you influencing it? Because if you're not, all you've got is a garden that nobody's cultivating. It's going to grow up full of weeds, and that's not going to help anybody. What do you think?
That's a good way to think of it. You know, I think it helps people to think about cultures as splitting it into tasks and relationships. And depending upon the business you're in, of course, the task will be very different. But relational cultures tend to be the same, whether they connect people or they're disconnecting.
Well, so explain that a little more. Flesh that out a little bit more.
Well, everything we do, we can think of it in terms of, does it draw us closer to people so we're more likely to cooperate and collaborate? Or does it push us away from each other so we're less likely to cooperate and collaborate? Mm-hmm. You know, that includes the mission in our business. Is it meaningful? Are we making progress? It depends on how we treat one another. Do we show that we care about one another? Do we encourage one another? Do we speak truth to others?
Is there love and respect in the company? I mean, I don't mind saying it that way. I mean, I know companies.
Exactly.
I know companies. I've been part of organizations, big organizations, where you could cut the love and respect among the people like with a knife. I mean, it was palpable. It wasn't subliminal at all. It was palpable. I mean, even when they competed against each other, even when they disagreed, the fundamental foundational respect and affection that they had for each other was amazing. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you think about the extremes, at the highest end, a lot of people in the military talk about that camaraderie. Yeah,
esprit de corps. It has a name, esprit de corps.
It's huge.
By the way, that's one of the organizations I was talking about. It was a military organization. I've been part of
A lot of people in the military, when they come back to the States after experience that, you know, they feel lonelier. There's a bond there that is really transformative. And when you have something approaching that in the workplace, people, no surprise, they care more, they give greater effort, they have more energy and enthusiasm. And the more you're indifferent to that, the more you're going to get a lackluster attitude and lackluster performance.
Well, that's exactly right. And so... You know, one way to tell if you aren't actively thinking about and nurturing your own culture, then you're by definition disregarding it, and therefore I'm going to go ahead and drop the gavel on you and say you've probably got a dysfunctional culture. And so, yeah. So if that's where you are, then you need to go ahead and claim that, and look around and try to identify where there's dysfunction, right? I mean, it's easy to see at that point. You may not be able to see your culture as much, but you can see the dysfunction, can't you?
Well, you can. Sometimes I think a lot of people are good at hiding it from the boss. So But, you know, if you're out there connecting with people who you work for, you're going to hear stories about how there's disconnection between certain people. And, you know, like you said, Jim, I think the cultivating a garden is a good way to think of it. If you're not intentional about it, weeds will start to grow. So you really have to be intentional about developing relationship excellence. And when you do, that's when people feel the sense of connection and you get the best performance.
Well, can't you, when you start seeing silos, when you start seeing shields coming up between groups and they're sounding like they're more interested in protecting their borders than they are in the what's good for the company, that's an indicator of a dysfunctional culture, isn't it?
It is. And you know what happens, Jim, is when you start to see that type of behavior, and there are other behaviors that do this as well, people start withholding information. I call it knowledge traps. And knowledge traps build up in an organization or a team, almost like cholesterol builds up in the body if you're not eating healthy. And then it results in a heart attack, which we call in business managerial failure.
Yeah.
So it's important to have those connections to really have the best communication so decision makers get the information they need to make the best decision.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing that I like to remind people about, Michael, is just like trust is not just the right thing to do, it's a business best practice. Having an effective, functional, productive culture, a healthy culture, where there's love and respect inside of a company, that puts money on the bottom line, doesn't it? It's a best practice. It's not only the right thing to do, it's a best practice.
Well, you know, what you said, it just reminds me of a conversation I had with Jim Senegal, the co-founder of Costco. And he said, you know, Costco's created this magnificent culture of connection for, you know, the many years they've been in business. And Jim says, you know, it's not only the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do, it's the wise thing to
right.
do. Because Costco has a 95% employee retention ratio.
Wow.
And an industry that has half that, Jim. So they have an enormous financial advantage
that's
coming from their employees stay there a long time.
Look at the expertise. Look at the money they're able to put on the bottom line because they're not having to retrain people. And look at the customers who want to come back and see the same faces every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Costco may have done something unique. In that they've actually created special sauce in a major corporation. And that's kind of scary. As a small business, that's kind of scary for me. I don't like it when they do that. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back after the break. Michael's got seven needs your employees need to survive and thrive at work. We'll talk about those after the break. Michael Sollard is our guest. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.